Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Father, for every breath you give us. Thank you, Father, for Jesus and our salvation that we have. Now, Father, we would just pray your Holy Spirit would touch the hearts and minds of everyone in here today. Touch, preach, and the message that he's about to give us, Lord. Open our hearts and minds. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I, for one, am glad to be here. It's been a pretty hectic last couple months. Tomorrow at my church, I am being ordained as a minister. And
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And although I know that Steve and Judy may not want me to say this, it wouldn't be possible without them. They opened this pulpit to allow me to come. Yes, yes. Give them a round of applause. Yes. They opened this pulpit to allow me to come in and share with you a little bit how God deals with me. And I have been blessed probably more than you have by being able to do that. And although this is not a culmination of my ministry, let me tell you that. Okay, this is just another starting point, another step. Okay, it's going to unlock doors that are kind of locked to me right now. But I'm cool with that, see, because God has a plan. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to say thank you to Steve
thank
and Judy
you,
for their part in allowing this next step to take place in my life.
We're proud of you, brother.
Thank you. Okay, I was at my father's church last Sunday night preaching a message, and I'm going to preach that message to y'all today. But I'm going to start off with something. You know, my pastor sent me a text for our Good Friday service called, he said, Kelly, we're going to have a few speakers that are going to be speaking on Good Friday, and the theme is your perspective of the cross. So each speaker is going to have 15 minutes to give their perspective of the cross. So he said, Kelly, you got 15 minutes. Now, the kitchen crew will tell you I can do that in spades. Right? Look at him. He's smiling. I see him back here. He's smiling. So I was thinking about that, and I'm going to share with you something I wrote for that day. So if y'all happen to come to New Harmony's Good Friday service at 7 p.m., 3310 Wells Avenue, Massillon, Ohio, you're going to hear it again. Shameless plug, I know. So I'm going to share this with you. Everybody that I've shared it with, it has impacted, and I pray that it impacts you too. And then I'll get into the message afterwards. When I look at the cross, what do I see? A torn and bloodied body staring back at me. As I remember the stories I've heard from Galilee, I realize there's more to this man hanging on that tree. The longer I look, the eyes of my soul can see clear the message of Jesus opening my deaf spiritual ear. I recall how he turned the water to wine and how with mud made with spit, he gave sight to the blind. I see with clarity the joy of a child whom demons set free because of a word from him to allow it to be. His anger in the temple courts with the tables he crushed left the thieves in God's house speechless and hushed. The frustration of a woman who'd spent all that she had on doctors that told her the prognosis was bad. However, she heard of him who could make a man see. And thought, surely he can stop this bleeding for me. I heard of the 5,000 people he fed with just a few fish and loaves of bread. As I look at this man that was nailed to a tree, so many stories of miracles he did come flooding back to me. The soldier's child that just needed a spoken word to live was found talking and breathing because life he did give. What kind of a man can just speak a word and the dead come to life? I suppose we should ask Lazarus, who came out of the tomb alive. And what of the prostitute that was about to be stoned? It seems that Jesus' writing in the dirt caused those men to leave her alone. As he stood before Pilate accepting his fate, not a word of defense did he hasten to make. This man that helped many and was so wrongly accused was left beaten and bloody and terribly bruised. This man on that tree showed all nothing but love given to him from our Father above. He was heard to explain to Peter and James and John that he must accept this fate so that they can move on. You ask what I see when I look at the cross. At first, just death, destruction, and loss. But as I look longer, all becomes clear that my initial reaction was nothing but fear. As the ground begins to shake and a veil torn in two, Jesus willingly did this for mercies renewed. Because nailed to that cross in his right hand are my hurts and my pain and the scars left by man. My sins and regret are also nailed to that tree because Jesus holds them in his left hand, I see. The hole in his side and the blood and water that flowed was an atonement for my shortcomings. This much I know. Jesus walked so many miles preaching good news to all that would hear on feet that are now nailed to this cross. It is clear. I should be the one to suffer with pain, but Jesus took my humiliation and shame. As the skies darken to black from bright blue, remember, he not only did this for me, but for you. You ask what I see when I look at that tree. The answer is simple. Because I see me. That was written in about 2 hours, pondering the question, what is my perspective of the cross? So, on top of that, I don't know how many of you have Facebook accounts. I mean, I know it's a big thing in social media. I have one. I follow a few pastors. One of the pastors that I follow, his name is Pastor Stephen Furtick from Elevation Church in North Carolina. One of my favorites because he and I have somewhat the same style. And I get him and I feel like he could get me if we were ever to meet face to face. But he was preaching a message one time. And he was talking about the two extremes of faith. On one hand, you have denial. And on one end, you have denial. On the other end, you have despair. And he made a statement in that message, Pastor Jerry. He said, faith can't fix what you won't face. And as I often do when I hear something that kind of strikes a chord in my heart, I didn't hear the rest of the message he was preaching because any of you that are preachers or pastors or evangelists in the room know that when the Lord hits you with something, you kind of go off on a little rabbit trail. And I call it ADD on steroids because you don't hear the rest of whatever somebody else is saying because you're focused on what you feel God's dealing with you in that moment. So I started thinking about faith can't fix what we won't face. If you have your Bibles or if you're taking notes and you want to open up to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I'm going to start first in the 17th through the 19th verses where we read, and I read out of the NIV, okay? But by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Now imagine if Abraham had not faced this enormous and painful task that God had placed on his shoulders. What if Abraham had decided to hide this directive in his heart and never tell a soul about it? We're talking about the death of a promise, so how could God ask him to kill the son that was to bring that promise to fruition? But we also find out that the relationship that Abraham had with God was deeper than the physical. I'm going to say that again. We also find out that the relationship that Abraham had with God was deeper than the physical. We read that Abraham trusted God so much that he had reasoned that God can do anything, even raising Isaac from the dead. We can surmise from this scripture that Abraham didn't know how God would fulfill his promise if Isaac was dead, but he knew that God would. I'm sorry, I got stopped for a second because he knew that. Listen, how many know Jesus? Amen. Do you believe every promise in the Bible? Come on, raise your hands if you believe every promise in the Bible. Do you now? Okay, because we're going to get into something deep that might make you think that you might be at a point where you think you believe everything in the Bible. But when we get through some of this, you might have to question that. And if you don't, after we get done with this message, I guarantee you that I know a way you can. Not an excitable crowd this morning, man. There's a lot more crickets shouting than there are people. So we'll get to that here in a minute. He knew that God would. This leads me to the well-known scripture in the book of Hebrews at the 11th chapter and verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Abraham was so confident in his relationship with God that he knew that even though his physical mind couldn't fathom how it would happen, God would never lie and go back on a promise. Let me get the elephant out of the room here real quick. Bad things happen to good people. You're not alone. Don't be so self-centered. Yeah, that went over just about like I thought it would. See, we have a tendency to internalize everything to the point that we become the center of our world. Our faith in a benevolent God should be the center of our world. We think that there is no way that God would allow this bad thing to happen to me, so I'll hide it in my heart and never let it see the light of day. Unbeknownst to us that by hiding this thing in our heart, two things happen. It is never brought out in the open light of God to be dealt with and healed. And two, it controls everything we do and every decision we make. Everything that we go through in life is now, my pastor likes to talk about lenses, looking through lenses. He's preached plenty of messages on different lenses that we see, that we look through. And so when we hide that thing deep in our heart that we said we've given over to the Lord, but see, we hold on to it. Deep down inside, we hold on to it. Every decision that we make, every circumstance we go through is filtered through that lens of that thing. Amen? It's filtered. We can't see clearly because of that thing that we're holding deep inside. And that thing might have been something small at one time, but it was that something that you just couldn't let go of. Oh, God, I'm going to give it to you. And you really meant it at the time that you did. But about 2 days later, what are you doing? You're thinking about it. You're holding on to it. You just, the thing that you laid at the cross, you hooked a log chain to, and now you're dragging it with you wherever you go. And every time you look at somebody, every time you think about something, every time you make a decision, it's filtered through that lens of that thing. And my wife who's standing back here, I'm going to use her as an example. And don't think I'm telling on her. She would tell you herself. I'm her fourth husband. Okay? She had some very tragic things happen to her when she was younger that she thought that it never affected her. That it never was a problem for her. But after her third divorce, she found out, after going and getting some help, she found out just how much that one thing that she'd been holding in, that she had never released to anybody, had affected her marriages before me. I am not going to, I told her when we got together, so I'm not interested in being your next ex-husband. Ask her. She'll tell you. I'm not interested in that. And she said, I'm not interested in having another one. So you know what we did when we met? For the first 2 weeks that we were seeing each other, we did nothing but talk. No holding hands, no hugging, no kissing. We communicated. And we communicated about everything. Things that happened to me when I was younger. the tragedies that I've faced, the things that have hurt me and affected me in my life. And she did the same. There was no skeleton in the closet, is what I'm getting at. There was no little thing that we did not talk about. Nothing was too harmful. Nothing was too hurtful that we didn't bring out in the open light and deal with it. Amen? God wants the same thing. See, have y'all all ever woke up in the morning, and it wasn't, I was hoping it was going to be like this because the weather was calling it, but it wasn't so bad this morning. You ever woke up in the morning to just look out the window and see nothing but fog? We used to call it back in my day pea soup fog. Do you still call that pea soup fog? Y'all, when I say that, do y'all know what a younger folk maybe don't know what that? You can't see 10 feet in front of your face. The fog is so thick. Amen? You can't see. That's how that thing that you're holding back from God, that's how you see through that thing. Are you hearing me this morning? Hey, are y'all alive? Somebody shout an amen or something. Come on. Jesus is exciting, man. I'm excited to be a child of the King. I'm excited that, you know, we're coming into the season where He was crucified for me. But see, here's the thing, man. 3 days later, He rose up again. He's not in the tomb anymore. He's alive, so you need to be alive.
Thank you, Jesus.
Calm down. I'm sorry, I can't. Okay? I'm excited about my Jesus. What diminishes the fog? Okay, science lesson. We're going to have a science lesson here real quick. I got to find it in my notes here. When the earth is cooler than the air, this makes the water in the atmosphere turn from a liquid to a gas, which creates a cloud at ground level. What diminishes the fog? The light and warmth of the sun. True? Any science geeks in here? Geeks is not a bad term, really. I think y'all smart. So you know that is true. But what diminishes that fog is the light and warmth of the sun. It is amazing to me how the laws of science are the same as the laws of the Spirit. What diminishes the fog in your life? The light and warmth of the Son of God. Yeah, you go ahead and clap, girl. You go ahead and clap. Because it's the truth. That one thing that you hold deep inside of you. Now I'm going off on a tangent. That one thing that you're holding back from God. That one thing that you've convinced yourself you've given over to the Lord. That everything you go through in your life, you're looking through that lens, can be diminished by the light and the warmth of the Son of God that went to the cross for you to take all of that on there. And guess what? When He got nailed to the cross, it got nailed with Him. When He came off the cross, it stayed there. We keep going back with a claw hammer, Reverend Jerry, and we keep taking that thing back and pulling that nail back out. But we were never intended to keep taking it back. See, God understands we're going to make mistakes. God understands that although He created us to be perfect, when sin entered into the world through Adam, we're not perfect anymore. But that doesn't mean that cannot be our goal. That doesn't mean that when that bad thing or that bad decision happens or that, doggone it, God, I made another dummy mistake, happens, we get on our knees and we ask forgiveness. And guess what? It's done. It's over. It's nailed to the tree to be remembered no more. I heard a Christian comedian say one time, Brother Bill, is that because God's got a bad memory? No, He does it because He chooses to do it. He throws it as far as the east is from the west. And that's not in a globe, like a circle, like the globe. That's in a straight line. Another science lesson. That's it. A straight line is an infinite line. There is no end. Come on. It's done. What happens is we start reeling it back like a fishing line. God threw it away. Oh, wait. Hold on, God. I just don't know. I don't know if I can do that. We hide it. We hide it because we think, foolishly, we think, God can't love me because of this thing that I've done. God can't love me. Nobody can love me. If people truly knew who I was or what I've done, nobody would love me. So I can't tell anybody. I can't tell a soul. Guess what? God already knows. But there's power in confession. There's healing in confession. And listen, I'm going to tell you something too. Be careful who you talk to because not everybody's good for you. Amen. My pastor, I'm going to make a little bit of a joke, but it's kind of not a joke. My pastor used to talk about back in the day when we had rotary phones in every house. We had young folks, that's where you dial like this. But anyway, so we had rotary phones in every house, and so somebody would be hurting in church, and they'd go to somebody that they thought they trusted. They would tell their story to that person, and that person would say, oh, praise Jesus, I'm going to pray for you, or you're going to be... And then as soon as they get home, they pick up that phone, they dial the next person in church, and then that person dials the next person, they called it the phone ministry, and by the time that you get back to church the next Sunday, that personal thing that was only supposed to be confessed to one person, the whole church knows about. See, I'm going to tell you something. If somebody comes to you and trusts you with something very deep, you better take honor in that. And you better hold it there. If it bothers you so much, you hearing it, then you find somebody that you trust that will not blab it. And it will stay there. Not everybody is good for you. See, there are a lot of people out there that would rather run people down to make themselves look better. They don't care how many heads they step on. And here's the thing, it's just deflection, brother. You know what I'm saying? It's just deflection. Hey, if I can make you look bad, then nobody's looking at me. And maybe that thing I'm holding deep inside. My insecurities, my imperfections. I'll make everybody look at you so they don't look at me. But see, that's what the wonderful light of God's Word and the warmth of God's Word and the warmth of Jesus Christ is, that thing comes out in the light. And it can bother us no more. So if we have the courage, and it takes courage, believe that, it takes courage to get that thing out. But if we confess it out, it's no longer held in. Hallelujah. I'm almost done here. Wow. So my last example, and this one hits really close to home. I have three sons who have served in the military. Two of my sons were in the Marine Corps. They're both out. My oldest son is still in the Army. 22 veterans a day commit suicide. 22 veterans a day. That's one every 65 minutes. Basically, a veteran an hour commits suicide. Why? I'll tell you from personal experience, because I have other members in my family that have served in the military. Because their thought is when they come back from war. See, it's been said war is hell, and anybody that's ever served in a time of war will tell you that's exactly what it is. It is hell on earth. And they see things that no human being should ever see. They see atrocities brought on by man towards each other that no human being should ever see. And so they hide that thing deep in their heart. They don't want to confess. They don't want to talk about it. And they can't talk about it unless it's to somebody that's already been there. But so few guys want to talk about it, they don't know who the next guy is that they can trust to talk about that thing. They hold it inside to the point that despair and pain overtake them. And they think the only way to get away from it is to take their own life. That's how deeply holding something secret inside can affect the rest of your life. But I promise you, Jesus took that all on the cross. Faith can't fix what you won't face. But the moment you face it, faith is bigger than addiction. Faith is bigger than molestation. Faith is bigger than divorce. Faith is bigger than financial problems. Faith is bigger than anything you can face in your life right now. Faith is bigger than homelessness. Faith is bigger than starvation. Faith is bigger than anything. And it can handle it. Trust God. Trust God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for this opportunity. And I pray that Your Word went out and achieved exactly what You wanted it to achieve this morning. Father, if there's anybody here in the sound of my voice right now that has that thing that they're having a hard time getting rid of, Father, I pray for strength and courage to that person right now. In Your Word in Joshua 1:9, it says, "Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, even in your most secret place." So, Father, help us to find You in our most secret place. Help us, Lord, that when we give something to You, that we truly give it over to You and don't keep picking it back up again. And quit taking the nail out of the tree. Father, bless these people that heard this word this morning. I pray right now, Father, that You bless the people that have prepared the food in the back. Lord, they do it from love. Bless this food that's going to nourish these bodies this morning, Lord. And bless Jesus Said Ministries, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are released.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Great message this morning. To God be the glory. We love You, Lord.